it wrong a lot of times. But how's everybody doing this morning? You okay? Half and half? Remember, people are traveling now. It's weekend, summer. Pray for those that are traveling. If you're not going to be with us for a week or two, let us know. We try to keep touch with everybody. We try to, you know, contact people if we don't see them for a while, but we don't know, you know, we don't want to hassle if you're just away for a weekend or for a couple weeks or whatever, but let us know. Father, bless your word to our hearts now as we hear it, as we, as you open our ears to hear it. Let us not hear with just human ears. Let us hear with the ears you would give us. Give us eyes to see. Give us a heart that would receive it, and give us a will that would do it. And help us in all things, Lord, to remember that your word is powerful and will not return void. Let it accomplish everything you desire for it to accomplish here. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord willing, we're going to finish our series in the book of Ephesians with part two of the armor of God. We were doing really good until Easter and Palm Sunday and then Mother's and Father's Day, and we kind of got lost track, but we kind of got off track there. But I'm just going to read from verse 10 of Ephesians 6 just to get us back. I'm going to read it first just with that comment, then we'll comment on the last part of the armor of God. Finally, verse 10 says, "My brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I've sent to you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." And what do you say? Amen. All right. I read an article this week. It says there's no such thing as spiritual warfare. And I went, okay. Now, you can have an opinion about that. Does anybody here have opinions? Raise your hand if you have an opinion about anything. Okay, yeah, we all have opinions. And we have opinions about God's word. But honestly, I'm more concerned about what God says about his word than what my opinion or somebody else's opinion is about it. And I sometimes voice my opinion, but I always try to preface it when it comes to God's word, saying, "Well, this is my opinion about it, but that's not. Don't really worry about what I think. Worry about what God says. What does His word say? What does His word say?" Yeah, we wrestle against flesh and blood. It's very clear. We wrestle against rulers and wickedness in high places. We wrestle against these things, as we said, though it may many times be in the flesh from the standpoint of the what we see and feel, but we know it's got its origin in the heavenlies, in the spiritual, in the spirit realm. And we're told to put on the armor because we cannot do it alone. We cannot wrestle against these things alone. We cannot win spiritual battles in our flesh. We will be overwhelmed. We need the armor of God. Not somebody else's armor. Not a different kind of armor, but the armor of God. And we're putting it on. And last week we talked about the belt of truth. Right? We talked about the breastplate of righteousness. They kind of go hand in hand there. We talked about the gospel of peace that we need to have on our feet to go. And we talked about truth. Really, we emphasized the truth portion of it because we have to be in the truth. And there is only one truth. But we also have to be people of truth. If you're not in the truth or you're not a person of truth, then the rest of the armor is not going to fit you well. It's not going to work properly. We need to be truthful. We need to be in the truth that the rest of the armor will fit and operate properly, function properly. And you got to put on a shield, man. Yeah, a shield of faith. You know, they had some shields in those days were as big as a door. Yeah, I think those guys were a little bit stronger than we are today. I get that feeling that they were a little bit stronger than we are. physically, I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, everything you did was manual, you know, and you carried doors as shields. Carried swords that were probably bigger than, weighed more than me, you know. but regardless of what that is, they carried shields, especially in the Roman army. They had shields. They had the little shields that they used in close battle, but they had these big shields. The big shields, they would march, and when they would have arrows that would come at them, they would group together and they would link their shields together and go like this, and you know, the arrows would hit it, and they would, you know, withstand the onslaught of the arrows. You know, sometimes they would put hide on the shields and then soak them so that if they ever shot flaming arrows, which they were known to do, the enemy, that would, you know, extinguish the flame. A shield is important. It covers a lot. It covers, in that case, the whole body. They used to paint their shields with identifying marks, you know, what legion or what part of they were, you know, whatever they were part of. And we need to have our shields identified. It's a shield of faith, but it's a shield of faith in who? Jesus Christ. It's a shield in faith that we are a foot soldier in the command or under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the commander of the host, and we are his. And that is the faith that we stand upon, the faith and the faith that we have in him. Faith, you know, Hebrews 11 says, is what? The confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things hoped for, you know? It means confidence, the evidence. It's we're sure about it. It's what we're sure about and what we hope for, and the assurance of things that we don't see yet. We know it's real. We know it's sure by faith. By faith, we know that we have an eternity in heaven. Can somebody say amen to that? But we haven't seen it yet. Have you? We're not there yet. I've read about it. Did you ever read about it? It sounds really cool. But we're not there yet. But by faith, we know that's where we're going when we leave this world. If we're born again, if we're in Christ, if we're a new creation, if we've been washed in the blood, our home is in heaven. That's faith. Bible says also that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Satan loves to attack us in so many different ways, and it'll cause us to doubt things, doubt God's word, doubt him, doubt ourselves, doubt our salvation, all these different things. And faith prompts us to believe God, take him at his word. We give in to temptation sometimes because we think that the temptation as it comes is something better than what God has already promised us. No, we have to say by faith, no. Even if I want something now, I'm not going to settle for something that's not from God because it's not better, it's false, and it's going to end up destroying me. By faith, I want to hang on to God's word and his truth, and I'm going to follow his path and his ways for my life by faith, even if I don't feel right now. In other words, sometimes faith hurts, trusting God. It hurts. Doing the right thing sometimes hurts us physically, emotionally, you know, spiritually, you know, for a short term. But we know that when we follow his way, ultimately it's better. And we have the shield of faith. The faith. Faith in him. When Satan accuses us, faith chooses to believe that we have been redeemed, that Jesus has made a way for us, that he holds us in the palm of his hands and he will never let us go. Faith is a doorway, if you will, of hope. I spoke to someone yesterday who just came to this church once or twice. They're not part of it. They came here, I think, for a different type of service or something like that. I think like a memorial service or some other things. Or I spoke somewhere where they heard me speak a couple times. And they were talking about just this world and all the different things and the problems. But they were talking about, you know, and our conversation got back to the thing. And I said, you know, but why are you able to get through? I said, because you have hope in something. I said, but what your hope has to be is in Jesus Christ, in his word, in the word of God. I actually said hope in God's word is what I was saying to him. You know, we have to have hope. You know, faith and hope, it's the things hoped for. We know that we are his. We know that ultimately he'll work all things together for the good. It's the doorway to have our hope in God. And without hope, we perish. But if we have hope, we can hold on. You know, everyone, the Bible says, that's born of God overcomes this world. And this is our faith, our, you know, our hope, if you will. Our victory that's ultimately in him. Faith is our shield to know that Jesus is the author and the protector, if you will, or the finisher of our faith. And you need to put on a helmet. The helmet of salvation. It protects your what? Your dome. Sometimes there doesn't seem to be a lot going on up there, but there's really a lot going on up there. You know that, don't you? Sometimes I tell my brain, just quiet down a minute. Chill. Relax. There's a lot going on. I mean, the brain's firing things. It's telling you, it's smelling things and sensing things and seeing things and processing all kinds of information. A lot of stuff goes on in the brain. Doing things that you don't even think it's doing, like helping your heart to beat and your lungs to breathe. I mean, just, you know, all the brain doing everything. It's the control center. But it also is our mind, our thoughts. You know, the essence sometimes of who we are. It's in our heads. You need to protect your head. Survival. A soldier that had his head damaged wasn't going to be good for fighting anymore, even if the rest of the body's okay. His head's damaged. It's done. I remember, it's been a while now. Joe, you're here. Right? You were probably like, what, your teens when we went paintball from the church? Remember we all went down there? You were probably in your teenage years. So that's a while ago. Maybe so 20-some years ago, whatever. We all went paintballing, man. It was cool. Yeah, whoever's been paintballing? Whoever's been to paintball? Okay. Yeah, it's fun. Is it you have fun? No? Yeah, paintballs hurt. They do. Yeah, paintballs hurt. But you go to this thing, and they have all these big, well, the one we went to up in Jim Thorpe, all the big fields, and they take you on buses. It's like you're in the Army, man, like you got drafted or something, you know. And you go there, and then they give you your weapon and your gear, you know, and, you know, and you go in, and they give you, like, you know, you're like, you have boot camp for, like, 15 minutes, you know. They train you up on how to shoot the weapon and what you're supposed to do and what to expect out there, and you're all geared up, and everybody's all gung-ho. And there's, like, people, like, we're super gung-ho people. You know, they do this like every week, every weekend, and they got their own stuff. And, you know, but we were just having fun. It was nice, and we had a good time. But here's what happened. They give you different battles during the day. So after we're all done, the very first battle, it's a big open field. The other guy's over there, and we're on this side. And it's usually kind of a capture the flag kind of thing. And this one was, like, real simple. It's the first one getting started. Like, flags in the middle kind of go out. Whoever can get there first. And, all that. And we're all going to go. And we're ready to go. And we're all ready. And this is going to be so much fun. And they blow the whistle or whatever they do to start. And boom! In my head, not even 10 seconds into it. And boom! Headshot. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. If this was our real war body bag, man, I'm done. They're shipping me home. I didn't even get to say hi. I mean, boom, this was like right out of the gate. I said, this is bad, right in the head. I mean, you know, if it's like a shoulder, it could be like in the movies. Oh, sorry, send me back, just a shoulder wound, I'm all right. You know, but head, you're done. You got to protect that head. It's critical. To know whose we are in Christ, salvation is what keeps our head straight. To know whose we are. To know who holds us in the palm of his hands. To know who's going to take us to that place when we leave this world, where we're going, that we're his, the helmet of salvation. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 10 to not be afraid of those who can kill the body but can't kill the soul. But be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Yeah. Only the Lord, only God himself, only our Lord Jesus has the authority over the soul, where the soul is going to spend eternity. If you're in Christ, if you've been born again, when you leave this world, however you leave this world, you know that you will be with him. Salvation. So when the enemy lobs things your way about things, and even if the enemy brings it to the point in this world, even to the point of death, maybe because of your faith, maybe for some other reasons or circumstances, and he throws all things about you, about eternity and about where you're going to go, and then it's all you like, you say, no, I know where my home is. I have no doubt about where I'm going to be when I leave this world. And it keeps your head straight. But even while you're alive, you got to keep this head straight because the enemy wants to throw doubts our way. You know, sometimes it's been said, and I kind of sometimes believe this, that it's easier to die for Jesus than to live for him. You know, many of us would be like, Peter, I'll die for you. But then when he's living for him, he doubts him at the fire. You know what I mean? Around just people, you know, that could hurt him. He doubted him. You know, he denied him, I should say. Not doubted, he denied him. You know, help us to live for you, Lord. So in that, we need to have our minds renewed by the word of God. We have to reject doubts that come from all different circumstances that you and I will go through. We have to keep this eternal perspective that this is not our home. That even if we don't see it here, we know by faith where we're going and who has us. And it keeps our heads straight. We can doubt the things. I mean, we can go through the doubts while we're keeping an eternal perspective. We don't see it now. No, I know what I hope for, and I know it's real. Remember, too, that the victory's already been won. We've already won the victory. We haven't seen it all played out yet, but we've already won. And our faith and our hope is in him, and that keeps our head straight. It keeps us thinking right when all the doubts are lobbed and thrown our way, and the onslaughts in our minds. We keep our minds. We put everything in subject to Christ, every thought into subject to Christ, and it keeps our head straight. We know we need to keep our head straight, amen? We do, because you're going to leave church and something's going to come your way that's going to try to mess your head up. It is. The enemy's going to try to do it. He's going to try to mess your head. No. I need the helmet of salvation. I know who I am. I'm a child of God. I know where I'm going, and I'm going to trust him to get me through every part of this life until I see him face to face. And then you got to have a sword, man, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's the only time it says that verse, that phrase, the sword of the Spirit, is only found here in Ephesians 6:17. It is the word of God. It's the word of God, which is our offensive weapon, if you will. We use it in battle. So many times when you and I are fighting spiritual battles, we fail in that fight or fail in that battle because we refuse to use the word of God. Many times we will voice our opinions instead of using the word of God. Many times we will offer even weaker prayers instead of praying and remembering and utilizing the word of God. When the enemy throws doubts our way, we can say, no, the word says. When he says, has God said, we say, no, this is what God said. It's the word of God. Jesus used the word of God when he was being tempted. Amen? He used the word of God against the enemy. Don't engage the enemy by giving your opinions or trying to be cool and thing and try to debate the enemy or try to outwit the enemy. You will lose every time. Use the word of God. It is your weapon. You've been given that weapon to utilize. So build yourself in the holy word of God. Build yourself up in it. Meditate in it day and night. He told Joshua as he was to command the armies, actual armies, he said, meditate in the word day and night. Do not turn from it to the right or the left. If you're in it day and night, then you will have success. Be in the word of God. It is your weapon. And it's available to us. What a blessing. We have the word of God and we can use it. Train yourself up. Let the Holy Spirit train yourself up to use it so that you use it in the appropriate ways, in the appropriate times. Amen? It's available to us. Utilize the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, it goes on to say, and, you know, many times as I've taught the armor of God, preached on the armor of God or whatever, read it, you know, so many times, you know, the Holy Spirit just emphasized to me this time, really, the bookends here. Truth. You have to have the truth. And you have to be a person of truth. You have to have the truth. If you don't start out with the truth, that foundational aspect, the rest of the armor is not going to function properly. But it also, then at the end here, the other bookend, and I'm going to say this, you're going to say, wait, it's not part of the armor, but as you see how it comes up in Scripture, it's the next thing that's mentioned is what? Prayer. Because what does it say? Go down to the verse here. Look, I pick up my Bible here. What's it say here? Right? It says here, helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Praying always. I want to say it one more time, praying always. And it says something interesting. With all prayer. You say, well, how can I not pray with prayer? You can. You can just kind of pray words. No, seriously, you can just pray mechanical words sometimes. No, pray with prayer. What is prayer? Prayer. Praying to God, your Father in heaven, in faith, believing he hears and answers you. It always amazes me, I've mentioned this many times, but it always amazes me. We could be sitting down having a conversation, even sharing opinions, talking about things, all the kinds of things, even talking about God's word. And then all of a sudden we say, let's pray. We bow our heads and hearts. You know why? Immediately we're in the throne room of God. We were just talking a second ago. We say, let's pray. We bow our heads and hearts and we pray. Our Father in heaven is hearing us. And it says if we pray, he says he hears us. It's the confidence that we have that he hears us. You know what also the confidence says? That he hears us, that we receive the things that we ask as we're asking them according to his will. That's confidence. Don't neglect prayer. Pray always, but pray with prayer. Pray with prayer. Don't just say words. Pray with prayer. I don't know yet, but maybe next week the Holy Spirit will have us talk about prayer. I don't know yet. We'll see what he says. But praying always with all prayer and supplication, intercessions, requests, right? In the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to lead us in prayer. The Bible says that we don't always know how to pray for as we ought to know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit will pray through us, knowing not only our needs, but in the mind of the Father, and he will pray through us. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in prayer. Do you know one of the ways you know you're praying in the Spirit is when you just begin to go before your Father in prayer, and you could be worshiping or whatever it happens to be, and you just begin to allow the Holy Spirit. You intentionally say, Lord, help me, teach me to pray, show me how to pray. And all of a sudden, he brings things to your heart and mind that you never even were thinking of. He begins to lead you in a prayer for yourself or for an area in your life or for somebody else or for a situation, whatever, things that you don't even know. And the Holy Spirit is just guiding your prayer time. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Because truthfully, we don't always know how to pray with prayer. And we don't know how to always pray as we ought to. But the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And one of the things he's been given us for us to do is to pray as he would lead us and to guide us in the prayer. So pray. Do not neglect prayer. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in prayer. Let the Holy Spirit, but above all, don't neglect prayer. Don't neglect it in any way. Don't. If we neglect prayer, then we lose the only means by which we can draw spiritual strength. When we pray in the Spirit, when we pray by the Holy Spirit, when we pray with all prayer, we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at Jesus, even when he was in the garden, when he was praying in the garden, he was strengthened to go and face the cross, right? He received the strength he needed. Don't be ashamed also to ask your Heavenly Father at all times to teach you how to pray. I love how the disciples who were Jewish men, you know, who were raised from little boys knowing prayers, they went to synagogue, had to pray prayers, but they looked at Jesus and watched him pray, and they looked at him one day and said, teach us to pray. We don't pray like that. Father, teach me to pray. Don't be ashamed. Father, teach me to pray. Help me to know how to pray. But do not neglect it above all things. Do not neglect prayer, without reliance on God. All of our efforts at spiritual warfare and anything else is just futile. Just futile. If we're not praying, man, just you can talk about it. You can whine about it. You know, we could commiserate together. And blah, 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 blah. Without prayer, man, nothing's going to happen. You can even sign a petition. you can affirm, but without prayer, without the Holy Spirit praying through us and giving us the power, it's all futile. The full armor of God, truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God, and I'm going to add, and prayer, are the tools God has given us through which we can be spiritually victorious regardless of what the enemy throws our way. He is a defeated foe, but we still have to fight battles. We have to fight battles in this world to be successful. We have to fight battles to take ground from the enemy. We have to fight battles to keep our heads on straight. We have to fight battles to represent Jesus well in this world. We have to fight battles to tell others that we know where we're going and they can know where they're going too. We have to fight battles in relationships. We have to fight battles in the church. We have to fight battles out of the church. We have to fight battles everywhere. Don't neglect prayer. Truth and prayer are the bookends. I really believe that they're the bookends. Paul told us, and he said for us, you know, it tells us in one place that he says, never cease, pray without ceasing. The Bible actually says that. And guess what? Meditate on that and ask the Holy Spirit how to show you how to pray without ceasing. Okay? If the Bible says we can do it, then there's a way to do it. Lord, help me in my prayer life to be a man or a woman of prayer without ceasing. And then we have to recognize that if Philippians 4 tells us this. You know, King James says, be careful for nothing, meaning, you know, not be careful in the way you walk, meaning have no cares. And we would say it this way, don't be anxious for anything. I know you guys, none of you are ever anxious about anything. I know it. You guys are like the coolest. Oh, you never wring your hands over everything. You never worry about anything, right? Come on. You worry about a lot, don't you? You're anxious about a lot. The Bible says don't be anxious. You say, oh, yeah, great for you to say. No, he knows anxiety is going to come. He's not telling us that anxiety won't come. He says, do not sit there wallowing in your anxiety. Don't be anxious, but what? In everything, in every situation, by prayer and supplication or petition, with thanksgiving. You know what that means? And that's the key to that whole verse. I keep saying that. I've said that so many times. Because you could pray, but if you pray, but you don't believe that your prayer is being heard, if you don't believe God's going to answer, if you're waiting not in faith because you don't see something, but you're not waiting in faith and hope, then you know what's going to happen? You're still going to be anxious. But when you pray, whatever you're praying about, whatever the situation, when you pray and you give it to God and you can thank him for it. You know what you're thanking him for? It means not just saying thank you with the words, but thanking him means, no, in faith you say, Father, I know your word says that you hear every time I pray. And your word says that I'm praying according to your will. You're answering that prayer. Even if I don't see it today, tomorrow, or a month, or a year from now, you're answering it. So in the meantime, you're holding me in the palm of your hands and you're working it all together for the good. So I can thank you right now when I finish praying, know that you're going to work it out for me. And if you pray that way with thanksgiving in faith, right? Listen to what it says. When you make your request to God, the peace of God. God's peace. Not temporary human peace. Not a pseudo peace. But the peace of God. That doesn't come from yourself. It comes from God. The peace of God that surpasses or transcends all understanding. Our brains say one thing, but the peace of God says another thing. Our brains say, no, I got to be crazy. But then the peace of God says, you go, wow, man, I should be nuts and I got peace. Because you prayed with thanksgiving. You prayed in faith. You prayed always. You're praying with everything about every situation. You're not giving into the anxiety. You're bringing it to the God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're casting all your cares upon him. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts, the breastplate of righteousness, your minds, the helmet of faith, right? Through Christ Jesus. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about more prayer next week. I don't know. Let's see what the Holy Spirit says. But I want to share something with everybody now. On the tails of what we just heard, right? How many of you are aware of what's been going on in Tennessee? Anybody aware of what's going on? I didn't think so. I said the same in New Jersey. Anybody? You think you guys know? Okay, if you know, we'll affirm it now. Most people have not heard about anything that's going on in Tennessee. I heard about it a little while ago, a couple weeks ago, whatever, and then I heard it again earlier this week, and I was very interested in it. I was happy for it. But then the Holy Spirit impressed this upon me last night, not only to share it with you, but as you'll see as I read it, for something that we all need to do. So in Tennessee, earlier this year, the Tennessee governor, okay, and this is the governor of Tennessee, signed a stunning and historic bill. Now, I'm reading this from an article that I pulled off of Harbinger's Daily. Does anybody know about Harbinger's Daily? If you don't know about it, look it up online. It's a very good publication. It's an online publication. It's world news, but with a Bible focus or context, you know, keeping things to a biblical worldview or biblical lens. Earlier this year, the Tennessee governor signed a stunning and historic bill into law calling for a month of prayer for the United States and recognition of God starting July 1st. This is the governor signed this bill. Now listen, let's go on. The stated purpose of the bill, which overwhelmingly passed the state legislature, my mind's going, like, because we always just hear bad. We hear nobody's doing anything. And then there's stuff that's happening out there that we don't know about, that we should know about, right? Yes, the world's in bad shape, but there's also hope in Christ, and there's also people that are doing some things about it. And it passed the state legislature overwhelmingly, and this is what it says. This is the purpose of the bill. To seek God's hand of mercy healing on Tennessee. Now, it goes on. It gets much better. The impact of Governor Bill Lee. Bill Lee is the governor of Tennessee. Pray for that man. The impact of Governor Bill Lee's proclamation, however, has stretched far beyond its state's border, prompting California pastor Jack Hibbs to call on American pastors and churches from every state to be Tennesseans for the month of July. Now this is Jack Hibbs saying this part. This is his quote. Our governor, now he's from California, so that's Governor Newsom, right? He's saying his governor, Newsom, right, won't say such a thing. We don't need our governor to say such a thing, he goes on to say. He stressed. We've got ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, and the Holy Spirit is calling Tennessee, its governor, and its people to pray for America. We in California can do the same thing. I'm calling upon the church in America to join with Tennessee. Now it gets better. Listen to this. The text of the Tennessee bill highlighted violence, drug abuse, human trafficking, and brokenness in many Tennessee homes, as well as evidence of corruption in our federal government, which stands to impact every Tennessean, to underscore why prayer at this time in American history is so critical. Now remember, this is a bill through the legislature, overwhelmingly passed, signed by the governor. Now here goes on to say, this is part of the bill. Our national and state founders trusted in the omnipotent hand of providence to guide and bless our land, the bill reads, adding that throughout the decades, American leaders and founders issued similar proclamations that called our people to seek out the Creator's favor. The bill noted a proclamation from John Adams in 1799, which stated, this is now John Adams, from 1799, this day be observed throughout the United States of America as a day of solemn humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that the citizens on that day abstain as far as it may be from their secular occupation and devote the time of the sacred duties of religion in public and in private, that they call to mind our numerous offenses against the Most High God, confess them before him with the sincerest penitence, implore his pardoning mercy through the great mediator and redeemer for our past transgressions, and that through the grace of his Holy Spirit, we may be disposed and enabled to yield a more suitable obedience to his righteous requisitions in time to come, that he would interpose to arrest the progress of that impiety and licentiousness in principle and practice, so offensive to himself and so ruinous to mankind, that he would make us deeply sensible that, now he's quoting from Scripture, that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, Proverbs 14:34. That's what John Adams wrote in 1799. That's in the bill. Now this is going back to the bill now, this bill in Tennessee. We, in Tennessee, recognize that God, as creator and king of all glory, has both the authority to judge and bless nations or states, the bill continued. We, as public servants in Tennessee General Assembly, seek God's mercy upon our land and beseech him not to withdraw his hand of blessing from us. We recognize our sins and shortcomings before him and humbly ask his forgiveness. We ask the Lord Jesus to heal our land and remove the violence, human trafficking, addiction, and corruption. We ask that the Holy Spirit fill our halls of government, our classrooms, our places of business, our churches, and our homes with peace, love, and joy. This is in a bill through the legislature, overwhelmingly passed and signed by the governor. It goes on to say, we call upon all those who are physically able and spiritually inclined to do so, to join in a 30-day season of prayer and intermittent fasting as we begin a new fiscal year as a means of seeking God's blessing and humbling ourselves to receive his grace and mercy, transforming ourselves, our communities, our state, and our nation, the bill concluded. I find this amazing. I think it's just an amazing thing. I'm just going to read the last few paragraphs of this article. It goes and begins, speaking of Jack Hibbs, a trusted California pastor and ministry leader, underscored that while no such proclamation is expected to rise from his state's government, all believers across the United States need to join the state in interceding for our country. Let's ask every Christian in America, every pastor in America, let's all fast and pray that God would have his way with these United States. Let's all be Tennesseans this month of July and pray and fast as the Lord leads, Hibbs urged. he says, you know, then he goes on to say, wear a Tennessee hat or shirt. He says, but most importantly, he says, starting July 1st, as you're able, fast and pray for our nation. If Tennessee is watching, meaning watching in prayer, we're with you. California is with Tennessee, he emphasized. Maybe God is waiting for America and its churches to wake up. Now, the only problem I have with the whole article is that last line. I would just not say maybe. God is waiting. I believe God is waiting for America and his churches to wake up. But we're given a call to prayer. I'm calling on our church to pray. Here in New Jersey, the Access Center, I'm calling for us to commit to prayer this month. I'm going to ask you to do a couple things. First of all, I'm going to ask you if you agree with this and you're willing to commit to prayer this month, stand up. Don't just stand up because you just want to stand up. But if you're going to agree to it, stand up. If you're not sure yet, that's fine. You can say it. But if you're going to agree to stand up. The next thing I'm going to ask is when you leave today, we're going to make sure, as I'm saying now, that Glory's going to have a binder, three-ring binder out there with things. Just sign up. Just put your name down. No phone number. Just put your name. Committing that you're going to pray for this nation. I'm going to say that all of our gatherings, whether they be Bible studies, outreaches, small groups, you know, the prayer tables, whatever, Sunday school, our staff meetings that we have, all the different meetings we have, we all will begin with a time and end. We'll all include a time of prayer for our nation every time we meet. That doesn't mean that you're not doing it on your own, but every time we meet together, we're going to include this time of prayer. As the Holy Spirit leads you, fast. Now, for some of you, as they talk about intermittent fasting and so forth, there may be a food fast, but I'm going to suggest something else. For many of us, the food's not the issue. It's our distractions. But let the Holy Spirit lead you. And that's a personal thing between you and the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to say you include a time of fasting in that time also. And whether it's be from food or something else, or maybe it's from your cell phones or your TV show or whatever else that you do, right? Include that time of fasting. The prayer time should include within it repentance, personal, church, and national. A time of reflection and a time of scripture. Include that in your prayer. Now, this call started in the halls of government in Tennessee. It did. It's amazing to me. It's still, I've read it 5-6 times now. It still blows my mind. This is actually passed in a government setting. But we have a mandate that calls us to pray from the Word of God. Right? You know, God's word says to Israel, but we can have the same call to us. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven. I will heal the land. We can take that for us, for the United States of America, that we're his people called by his name, but we have to humble ourselves. We have to seek his face. We have to pray and trust and believe that he will heal our land. If, as many of you may be, looking for a change in the ballot box in November, which maybe will happen in the administration, that's not going to heal our land, church. No government institution, no change in administrations locally or federally is going to change our land. It's only when the hearts of people change. It's only by a spiritual awakening will this fabric of this nation change, which will end up maybe changing the entire world before Jesus comes. We don't know what the future holds, but we're called to pray. I'll get you one second. 1 Timothy 2:1-4. First of all, then, to the church this is given, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful, quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And remember something. 1 Peter 4 tells us that judgment begins where? In the house of God. It starts here. It starts here. And then flows from here to the world around us. God desires us to be people of prayer, real prayer, people of repentance, people of humility, people of faith, people of trust, people of belief, people of holiness, that he would hear from heaven and heal our land. Joyce, did you want to say something? Meaning that I said, for they didn't say any three specific things. They prayed. It was more than that. They prayed about violence. They said human trafficking, drug addiction, brokenness in homes, and corruption. They were the things that they said in that bill. I will make copies of this bill, but you could look it up online. You can go, you just look it up generally, or look, go into Harbingers Daily, and you could see, Harbingers, H-A-R-B-I-N-G-E-R, apostrophe S, Daily. It's a website. It's a thing. You could go in there. You'll see the article. It was from the 25th of June. So it's still up there, okay? It's up there this morning. You could check it out and read it for yourself, but I'll make copies available. But commit to prayer. Donna, would you just pray for us now for this as we start? July 1st is when, folks? Tomorrow. So before you leave, you standing, sign that paper. Gloria's going to put out a book after. Just sign your name. Just I want you to just put something down. And then Donna's going to lead us in prayer as we start this prayer initiative. But thank you for standing. Thank you for promising to pray. Thank you for believing that our God will heal our land. Go ahead, Donna. Stand up a little longer because the worship team's coming up. We're going to close with a song. Thank you, Donna, for praying. Thank you for committing to pray. We will update you as I get any information I might get about people that are praying. We'll try to update with information to keep us there. But encourage one another. Pray on your own, but pray together. Call one another. Encourage one another that we would continue to pray. Amen? All right, let's sing a song together as we worship our Lord and encourage each other before you. Remember to sign the book in the back. Do we know what we have? Huh? God who listens, because Gloria wasn't sure back then. Thank you, Jesus.
Stars all in the place. The only one who stands above all others, and he knows me by name. The angels hide their faces in his presence. The demons run for cover when you speak. You rule the world. Yeah. that I am his own.